The first question is, Mufti Saab, what is the rule regarding mobile camera phones? Can you take photos with them and also video it?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mothers and sisters, someone asked a question regarding mobile phones. It has cameras and videos. Is it permissible to take photos with it and videos? Yes, it's 100% permissible. There's no problem with that. If it is an inanimate object, you see a wonderful scenery of the mountains, you see a wonderful scenery of the rivers and the dams or something, and you go and you take a snap of that, it's totally permissible. There's no problem with that. So if it is inanimate objects, whether it's a camera phone or the say, mobile phone, you're taking the camera, using the camera, using the video, inanimate objects, غير جاندار ہو, so totally permissible. If it is animate objects, then obviously the vast majority of scholars and jurists say that would not be acceptable, that would not be permissible.
Second question is that we just want to know, is it permissible to pluck eyebrows in Islam?
Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, la anallahu namisa wal mutanammisa, that the lady who does this, you know, we have some of our ladies who are beauty therapists and that is their occupation, profession, so they pluck the eyebrows also and they make it thin and they shape it because they want to look like the Bollywood or Hollywood or whoever icons. So that is Allah's curse is on both parties, the lady who's doing it and upon whom it is done. When Shaitan was expelled and Almighty Allah kicked him out of Jannah, he said, وَلَا أَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, that I will command them, this human being, that they will change the creation of Allah. Allah gave you eyebrows, now you want to change it and imitate, and you want to change something which Allah made normal, you want to make it abnormal. So therefore, we should not suffer from a complex. We should always be Muslima, Mu'mina, and this is what Allah wants from me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from me.
What is the right of mother-in-law to tell her son to divorce his wife when they both get on because she does not get on with her daughter-in-law? Explain this in English and Urdu, please.
Okay, mother and sisters, yeah, there is a masla. There, first of all, a question. Let's put the question in English and then in Urdu because it's requested we should answer it in both languages. So the mother tells her son that the son should divorce his wife. So should the son listen to his mother in a case like this? So yeah, there are two possibilities and two scenarios. Number one is if the mother of that son is just based on jealousy, envy, there is no Sharia reason. The husband and the wife, the son and the daughter-in-law, they are getting on well and she is not breaking the bounds of the Sharia. She is reading her Salat and she has shame, haya, modesty, and she is listening, she's not rebelling and all that. But you know, sometimes the mother-in-law is a difficult person and she's telling this husband, the son of hers, that, you know, divorce, yeah, take this, the woman is not good for you, and so forth. In case like that, it is not necessary, it is not compulsory for the son to listen to his mother because there is no justification at all. So they would not be sinful or anything. The second scenario would be that this daughter, this wife here is not reading Salat, or she doesn't wear, you know, clothes that have shame and haya, she wants to run around with a miniskirt or whatever, or for example, that she is a real tyrant, this daughter-in-law, she back answers the mother-in-law and the husband and causes so much commotion in that family there. So even in a case like this, the husband should not just divorce her. Quran, Islam did not come here for divorce. Quran said when husband, wife have problem, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ, when your wife experience problems with your wife, first thing, فَإِذُوهُنَّ, give them nasihat, advice, admonishment. Then, وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ, separate the beds. Separate the beds mean withhold the conjugal rights. And third one, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, that slightly can hit her, not battering and assaulting her, send her to the hospital and clinic. Haram that, absolutely. So it just means take a ruler, a miswak, hit her one, two shot on the hand, just slightly, shock therapy, what they call nowadays. If that does not work, this is all between husband and wife so far. Then you call outside people and iyurida islahi yuwaffiqillahu bainahuma. Yeah, arbitrator from the husband's side, arbitrator from the wife's side. Still, there's no talk of talaq. That fails. And the wife does not want to listen. Then only should he consider talaq. So these are the two scenarios. Okay, mothers and sisters, we're going to give the question 9 Urdu and the answer in Urdu. Ke ek walida muhtarama hai, unka larka hai, aur larka shadi shuda hai. Wo walida muhtarama saas jo hai, unki aur jo hai bahu ki nahi banti hai. To yaha do surat hai. Ek surat to ye hai, ke bas ek kisam ki rashk hai, ya adawat hai, ya hasad hai, wo saas ki taraf se. کہ یہاں میاں بیوی تو بہت خوش ہے ایک دوسرے سے, اس ان کے درمیان کوئی نا اتفاقی نہیں ہے, وہ خاتون جو ہے وہ بہو وہ نماز بھی پڑھ رہی ہے, شرم حیا کے بھی مطلب لحاظ کرتی ہے اور سب کچھ ٹھیک ٹھاک ہے, مطلب شوہر اور میاں بیوی کے درمیان. بس جو ہے وہ ساس وہ کہتے نہیں یہ بہو کی ناک ذرا لمبی ہے, یا یہ کہ یہ گجراتی زبان بات نہیں کرتی ہے, یا یہ ہے وہ مطلب بہانے کے لیے ڈھونڈتے ہیں. تو اس صورت میں جو ہے وہ لڑکے پر لازم نہیں اور اس کو جو ہے کوئی گناہ نہیں کہ وہ اپنی بیوی کو طلاق نہ دے, بلکہ اس صورت میں طلاق دینا ہی نہیں چاہیے, کیونکہ کوئی شرعی علت اور کوئی شرعی حکم ایسا نہیں کہ والدہ کی خواہش کے بس یہی ہے تم طلاق دے دو بغیر شرعی علت کے اور سبب کے. تو یہ تو ایک صورت ہو گیا. دوسری صورت یہ ہے کہ واقعی وہ عورت جو ہے وہ خاتون جو ہے نہ نماز پڑھتی ہے اور جو ہے شرم حیا کا لحاظ بھی نہیں, الٹے سیدھے لباس پہنتی ہے, یا تیسری صورت یہ ہے کہ بے باکی سے اپنی زبان کو استعمال کرتی رہتی ہے, ایسے جواب دیتی ہے ساس کو اور شوہر کو بالکل ادب کا لحاظ نہیں. تو ان صورتوں میں بھی ہم کہیں گے کہ یہ نہیں کہ بس وہ لڑکا وہ شوہر طلاق دے دے, یہ قرآن کے خلاف ہے. یہ چیزیں پہلے چیز تو یہ قرآن نے فرمایا, اللہ جل جلالہ نے فرمایا فَعِذُوهُنَّ, اے خاوین اے میاں تم ان کو نصیحت دو. یہ صرف میاں بیوی کے درمیان, تو پھر وہ نصیحت دے, اگر وہ سدھر جائے الحمدللہ, اگر اس میں بھی نہیں سدھر گئی یہ عورت یہ خاتون یہ بیوی, تو وہ جروہن فی المضاجی, کہ بسترے کو الگ کرو. بستر الگ کرنا کا مطلب یہ نہیں کہ بیوی شوہر کسی اور جگہ جائے بیوی اور, اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اگرچہ ایک کمرہ میں نیوکلیو نہ ہو لیکن یہ ہے کہ شوہر بیوی کے خواہشات کو پورا نہ کرے, تو یہ مطلب ہے اس کی. اور تیسری وضربوہن, کہ معمولی طور پر, یہ نہیں کہ بیوی کو ایسے مار ڈالے کہ بالکل ہسپتال تک پہنچا دے جو بالکل حرام ہے, تو بس جو ہے وہ مسواک کے ساتھ ایک جو ہے یا دو مرتبہ ہاتھ پر ایسے معمولی طور پر بس ایک دو مرتبہ ایسے مارا, تو اس کی اجازت گنجائش ہے لیکن زور سے نہیں. اور یہ سب میاں بیوی کے درمیان, اور تب بھی بیوی نہیں سدھر گئی تو پھر اس کے بعد کسی کو بلا لے, شوہر کسی کو اپنے ماموں کو چچا کو کسی عالم کو بلا لے, یہ بیوی اس طرح کرے کہ وہ اپنے والد صاحب بھائی کو ماموں کو چچا کو بلا لے, تو یہ دونوں جو حاکم بنیں گے. کہ قرآن نے فرمایا اگر ان کی نیت بھی صحیح ہو, ای یریدا اصلاح یوفق اللہ بینہما, یہ تمام صورتیں میں بھی یہ عورت نہ سدھری پھر بھی اپنے جو ہے کبھی اعمال اور اپنی حرکتیں اپنے کرتوت سے باز نہیں آئی, تو اس صورت میں اگر والدہ محترمہ نے یہ کہا اپنے لڑکے کو تم جو ہے اس بنا پر تم اپنے بیوی کو طلاق دو, تو پھر جیسے ہی ہے وہ کہہ سکتی ہے. لیکن یہ کہ جو ہمارے حال ہمارے آج کل جو واقعات پیش آتے ہیں بہت اکثر و بیشتر یہ ہے کہ بس نہیں ان کی ناک لمبی ہے یا ان کی آنکھ ٹھیک نہیں ہے یا ان کے چلنے کا انداز ٹھیک, یہ کوئی شرعی مطلب یہ کہ جواز نہیں نکل سکتے. تو اس وجہ سے میں نے دونوں صورت کو بیان کیا, تو اس کا بہت بہت لحاظ کرنا چاہیے. ہمارا کام تو کیا ہونا چاہیے خاص طور سے والدہ کا, والصلح خیر, کہ جوڑ لینا, ہمارا کام جوڑنا ہے توڑنا نہیں ہے.
Another question here is, I wear parda hijab but my hands and feet are not covered. What are the rewards for covering them? Or is it just okay just to leave them open?
When a lady speaks of hijab, so hijab means that you are putting a barrier so the strange man cannot see you. So in your home, obviously you don't have to cover your hands or your feet. But when you go out, then you should cover. The hands can be opened, that's fine, because many a time you have to use your hands. But the feet, definitely you should cover it. Quran says, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُؤْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Therefore the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they say it is compulsory for a lady that when she goes out, she must cover her feet. The Hanafi ulama say that below the ankles, till there is compulsory to cover, but the feet is not compulsory to cover according to the Hanafis, but it is better. So, afzal to yehi hai ke aurat jo hai apne jo paav hai to isko jo hai band kare jab bahar nikle, Hanafiya ke ya Imam Hanifa wagaira rahimahullah ke ya, lekin lazim nahi, is not compulsory. But baqiya imma ke nazdik to lazim hai, wajib hai. To is wajah se hum yehi kahenge ke behtar to yehi hai. Oh, and any one of you want to go for further reference and research, then you should read the Quran itself. Surah Nur, our mother, I just told you just now, our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Allimu nisa'akum surat al-Nur, you the men, so you today, you can learn yourself, go by the alimas or by the ulama, and teach your women folk, your wives, your sisters, daughters, Surah Nur, that is Surah number 24, and there Almighty Allah says that about the women, that what their rights are and what things they should, or parda also. And in Surah 33 verse 59, there Almighty Allah speaks about hijab. Ya ayyuhan nabi kulli azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. So all these should motivate you so that it's better to cover, especially when you are going outside shopping or whatever, visiting the sick and so forth.
Can one take homeopathic medication which has both traces, which has traces of alcohol in it?
Any medication, mothers and sisters, whether it is home medication, homeopathic medication, normal medication, if it has alcohol in it, it would be permissible if there is no alternative. So if there are alternatives and the alternatives work, fine, then we should use the alternative. But if there are no alternative and this is the one that is effective and it's working, so it's permissible, there's no problem with that. And today we should remember that alcohol many a time is not the alcohol that is haram, but it is that alcohol that is a chemical name. So therefore we need to be very careful, don't just say every way haram, that if there are no alternatives, then totally permissible. And if it's a chemical name, alcohol, then also is permissible.
Please can you tell me the ruling on women cutting hair, trimming the ends to keep it healthy, cutting larger amounts to beautify themselves? And another question is, are women allowed to beautify themselves and keep their hair uncovered in gatherings where there are no men, example, weddings?
Okay, mothers and sisters, here we have a nice interesting question. Always the women, they have these questions, that, and that is number one, that can a lady cut her hair? So if you are going for Umrah and Hajj, then obviously you have to cut your hair to come out of Ihram. So they 100% in the taqsir al-Nisa, the women have to cut their hair after the Umrah, after the Hajj. Thereafter, there are two scenarios. This is definitely not permissible, where a woman wants to cut her hair to imitate men. You know, today they want to cut this cut and that cut. When you look from the back, we don't know, we're looking at Eve or Steve, you know. Whether it's a male or the female, we don't know. So remember, Nabi alayhi salatu salam cursed the males who imitate female. لَأَنَّ اللَّهُ مُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَلَأَنَّ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And the women who imitate men, so both parties are cursed, so definitely unacceptable. Second one would be that you don't want to imitate men, but you want to imitate the icons in the fashion world. Then look at that one, what a smart hairstyle she got. So let me also trim my hair, cut my hair like that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. So therefore we should abstain from it. Yes, if a lady now, her hair is very, very long, right till, you know, the back and the posterior, and then she cuts a little bit there, that the ulama, but that's a separate case. Not this what we are doing today, cutting hair till the neck and cutting hair till the, you know, all the new styles. That definitely is unacceptable. Okay, then another question the sister asked, or another sister asked, very interesting. And that is, if there are ladies only, and now you are at home or you're in a function, in a wedding, there's no men there, then must you cover your hair? No, you don't have to cover your hair. Your hair can be open in that place. Although, sharam, haya, shame, modesty, it's better that you cover your hair. That is desirable, but not compulsory. Likewise, when you are with your husband or you are with your family, so you, the husband, the wife is there, the husband is there, the children are there. So there also it will not be compulsory that you must cover your hair, but we will say it is desirable and much more better and advisable to do so.
The next question is, I know that no one can come to my house except whom my husband wants to allow. Does that apply to my mother also? If my husband doesn't want her to come, should I listen to my husband?
Excellent question, that she knows that she should not allow in a home who her husband does not want. Now, yeah, there are two cases, two scenarios, that what about the lady's mother, that the mother wants to come and the husband maybe does not want her to come. So we will say there are two cases there. First, we will speak to the husband, why don't you want the lady to come, the mother to come? If he says that when the mother comes, then she instigates the daughter, and you know, chavi, she gives chavi to the daughter, do this, do this. So it's causing turmoil and chaos in the marriage, so then the husband is justified if he has this reason, and really he, the wife, the mother is doing this, causing more damage than good, then it's not permissible for the daughter to cut off ties with the mother, no. But they curtail the visit, they speak on the phone, or once in a while she goes and visits her mother, so that's fine. But if there is no justification, the mother wants to visit, then for the husband, he got no right to say, no, you must not come here. Yes, if the mother now is coming every day or every week, that's different, then the husband can object. But if once in a while, then the husband should not object, because he is causing qat'ur rahim, and he is causing severing of ties. So it is the haq of the wife to visit her mother. It is the right of the mother to visit the daughter once a month, once in 2 months, once in 3 months, depending how far they are to one another. So the husband also should look at Sharia from all sides. But the basic reason is she an asset to the marriage? Is she enhancing the marriage? Or is she causing turbulence and a harm in that marriage there? Sometimes the mothers cause more harm than good in marriages.
My husband hides a lot of things from me and does things behind my back. What are my rights? And the second question, same lady. My husband wanted to buy a house on a mortgage. I stopped him and now he holds it against me. Should I have supported him?
Okay, mother and sisters, very interesting questions. Number one, you say your husband hides things from you. If he's hiding the money from you, it's fine, because maybe you'll be Christmas, you know. Then every day you will start going shopping and so forth. So that kind of thing he can hide from you. If he's having affairs, or he is flirting with other women, or he is, you know, coming late at night and he gives you some funny excuses, this meeting, that meeting, so obviously you must be upset then. So in Islam, a lady must have ghairah, she must have self-respect. When she hears, she sees the telltale signs that the husband is dressing up smartly at night. So obviously that is telling you a message already. Or the husband every Tuesday night, Wednesday night is coming late at night, and then you can feel and sense the perfume of some other lady. So these are all signs. So then in cases like that, you as a husband and wife, not in front of the children, remember that. You must be alone and tell him, oh husband, come straight to me. And if he says he's having an affair, then you have three choices. Choice number one is that you say that you have to separate from him temporarily, because it is a betrayal of trust and it has devastated you, and you must be devastated because you made so many sacrifices and he wants to go and have a good time here and there, haram things. So if he does not ask forgiveness, he does not stop his all the haram activities, you can request a divorce. He does not want to divorce you, then you can go to the ulama and they will tell you about fasakh and annulment of marriage. So all that would be the final. But initially, you should try to discuss this matter with your husband. Quran says, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرِ. Reconciliation is the best. More so when they are children, you know, you can have big problems. So therefore, that would be the best. So it just depends what you mean by hiding. I just took a few examples here. Then the second scenario, second question you mentioned, your sister, was that your husband wanted to buy a house and mortgage. Obviously, you stopped him because of the interest factor and you felt that is not acceptable. You get involved in riba. 100% was right. Now for your husband to hold that against you is being very short-sighted. Open the Quran Kareem and show him Surah 2, that is Surah Baqarah, verses 275, 276, 277. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you do not abstain from interest, I'm just reading one verse. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Be prepared for war against Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you saved him from that. He should tell you Jazakillahu khair and should be thankful to you. But sometimes the husbands, they have a short fuse, and therefore they get some other problem getting place. They take out their anger on their wives. When he's in a good mood, you should address this issue with him and tell him that I saved you from something that's haram, absolutely, and you are angry with me. If we did it for Allah's sake, Allah will give us a ni'am al-badal, a better replacement, inshallah.
Jazakallah Muftisab. He says here that, are the ladies allowed to serve work in the shop? If the answer is no, then make dua for me. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, sister, we bring dua for the entire ummah, inshallah, almighty Allah, accept all our duas. Mother and sister, I'm giving you two things that you should know in life. They came to Nabi alayhi salatu salam and asked, Mal birru ya Rasulallah, what is a good deed, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, Taqwallah, that we inculcate the true fear of Allah, all times, all places. And wa husnul khuluq, we have good character. They asked, Mal ithmu ya Rasulallah, what is a sin? So the Master Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma haka fi sadrik, that works on your conscience. It's working on your conscience, my sister. Therefore, you send the question. Allah give you jazai khair for that. وَكَرِهْتَ أَيَّتْبَلِي عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. Second sign Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the sin. You dislike the public, the masses to know about it. We do these kind of things in private normally. So when we know, Islam is not against human working. Islam is against women working in places where their honor, dignity is compromised. You want to work at home and make your samosas, bhajiyas, and your knitting and sewing and your dresses and whatever. So dressmaker, fine. Not only permissible, it's advisable to do so. You are in an environment where only ladies are working. So totally permissible, no problem. Then also your husband give permission if you married and so forth. So mother and sisters, the problem comes about when we, the mother, sister, now we want to serve everybody. We're serving male, we're serving female, Muslim men, Muslim woman, everything. The man come there, he look at you, he smiles with you. Now you want to sell your merchandise. Yes, sir, no bags, no, sir, 3 bags full, sir. So all the sir, all these problems come about then. And if the lady, maybe, you know, she has a good voice, melodious voice, the non-Muslim also comes there. So he also wants to take a chance with a Muslim woman. So Islam is protecting your dignity and your honor. Therefore, Islam says that no, you should not do so when it comes to the public and you are intermingling with the men and all those issues.
Jazakallah Muftisab. Is the beard farz or sunnah?
I was in a hajj last year, alhamdulillah, and this year with Allah's help. So when we have hajj talks, then we have Q&A. So one person wrote there, he says that, the husband wrote the question, he says, my wife says, I must shave my beard or shorten it. Why? Because the wife says that the beard is poking her. The poking and tickling her too much, I suppose. So therefore, he must, you know that. So I said that she should make shukr, you know, that you got the beard. I gave a talk to the non-Muslims in South Africa, and it so happened that the 2-3 Muslim brothers who were there, they also, mashallah, all had beard. So one day the non-Muslims, so one of them stood up and he asked, he said, priest, we don't have priest in Islam, but whatever he said, scholar, please tell me, man, why do you Muslim men have beard? So you can't go tell them Quran and Hadith and that, so I want to share this with you. So I said, you see, the baby was sleeping with the father and mother, just 1 month, 2 months old baby, and now he was hungry, now he wanted his feed. So instead of going to the mother, he went to the father, because the father also is totally clean, you know. So he wanted his milk there, so he came by the father's breast, father's chest, like, you know. So mothers and sisters, Islam has given us a religion, a code of life that protects our identity. You look at the male, then you know he's with a beard. You look at the female, you know that she wouldn't. So in that way there, Islam does not want this today's system where you have male, female doing everything the same. So it is the sunnah not only of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but I'm using sunnah in a different way, that it is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and all anbiya wal mursaleen messengers. And from a fiqh point of view, and from a fatwa point of view, it is wajib and sunnat al-muakkada, according to some scholars, according to Hanafis and them, it is wajib, compulsory.
My husband wears suits to work. His trousers have been shortened to above the ankles. Is this permitted?
For a husband, for a male to wear a suit and to wear clothing like that is totally permissible. There's no problem with that. And in Islam we say that the aim of clothing is that you cover yourself. So if a person, your husband, your father is wearing suit, yes, it's permissible. No problem with that. However, we would say desirable and better is that if he can wear the clothing that is nearer to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, that would be better, but not compulsory. So if it is as you mentioned, then there's no problem, but that's totally permissible.
If a woman can't conceive, is there any dua in the Quran that she can pray? And the second question is, when pregnant, what duas and surahs should she read?
Those of you mothers and sisters who cannot conceive and you are married 2 years, 5 years, 10 years and nothing has happened still, first thing before any dua and all that, ask yourself and your faith and conviction, what is your response now? What I mean? Still have this firm conviction, my Allah loves me. My Allah wants me to be successful. Husnu dhanni billahi is farz. Never become negative with Allah. Always be positive with Allah, irrespective of what the circumstances are. So that's the first thing before the du'as in it start. Now you are married 2 years, 5 years, nothing happened. Open Surah 21. Surah 21. Surah Anbiya. Verse 89. Dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh Allah, don't leave me alone. Oh Allah, you're the best one to grant us children and heirs. So read the dua. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam cried to Allah. Allah blessed him with Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. So if Allah wants, He would bless you with that. Those of you who do not have children and you want the children, make abundant istighfar, and you can wake up tahajjud time, all the better. Husband, wife, big istighfar, any amount of times. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِيُ وَبَنِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ And oh Allah, have mercy, forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah will bless you with wonderful flowers and children. So that is for those couples who do not have children. Now you have conceived, you are pregnant. Then Surah 3, verse 38. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. Oh Allah, grant us such children that are pure, that are chaste, that are good children. Surah 3, verse 38. And Surah 25, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. So read that du'as, inshaAllah. Surah 25, verse 74. Surah 3, verse 38. For those who are pregnant and expecting, those who have not yet fallen pregnant, and you have that great, you relish and cherish motherhood, and every woman should do that, obviously, who's married. So in that case, read Surah 21, verse 89, and abundant istighfar.
So if you get married, then divorced, do you have to give your gold back to your husband?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla explains to us in the Quran, once the husband has given his wife cash, jewelry, gifts, and he gave it to her, she's the owner of it, after divorce it's haram for him to demand it back. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. Your husbands, when you gave your wives qintara, abundant wealth, £1,000,000, £100,000, so like that, big amount. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Don't take anything back from her. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهُتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Your husbands, Allah is surprised. You want to take it back? It is a great accusation against your wife and a major, major sin to do so. Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, Bukhari Sharif hadith, Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. The person who gave a gift, and now after some damal and trouble, like the husband divorced his wife, so in that kind of cases also, you want to take back the gift, is like a dog who vomited, and then he goes and lick the vomit. So they're not permissible. Yes, you on your own, without the husband requesting, demanding it, you don't want to look at his jewelry, then you say, keep your jewelry and go and have it. On your own, you want to give it back. Or he sends back all the things that you gave him. If you want to do that mutually, without anyone demanding and requesting, then it's fine. But no one can demand it back.
Jazakallah, I think this will be the last question of this afternoon, since Namaz Factor Zohar Salat is very close, inshallah, and we'll conclude this session with dua. The question is, I just wanted to find out, I'm on medication and I have to take the medication regularly. My doctor said that I can't fast. What do I have to do?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla give all our mothers and sisters Shifa'i Kamil, inshallah. Those of you who are ill, do the following three things. Read Surah Fatiha 7 times. If you got the strength, ability yourself, read 7 times Surah Fatiha Alhamdu Sharif till the end and blow on yourself. If you are so weak that you cannot even manage that, tell your daughter, your son or someone to read and then blow on you. So first, ilaj and cure mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, 7 times Surah Fatiha. Second one, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Ma u zamzam alima shuriba lahu. Whatever intention you drink zamzam water, Allah will fulfill that, inshallah. Those of you who got zamzam water, drink that and inshallah make the intention of shifa. And then the third one is, the Quran mentions about honey, fihi shifa ul linnas. So if you take honey, inshallah, especially in the morning time, so that also will bring shifa. So these are types of cures mentioned in the Quran, in the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. The month of Ramadan Mubarak is very, very near. Our people, they confuse these issues many a time. So jazakillahu khairan to you, our respected mother, for asking this question. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تُعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. Those people who do not have the taqat, those people who do not have the strength, you don't have the strength now in Ramadan, you don't have the strength the other 11 months also. So you don't have the strength throughout the year because you are chronically ill. So in a case like that, you pay fidya. Fidya is that you pay the Muslim person who's poor, you give him a meal during the morning sehri time, or the value of it, the money, and the evening time. So consult with your local ulama, yeah? 1 minute. No. What's the normal amount, Joe?
£1.50, yeah.
£1.50 per day.
Yeah.
£1.50, I just confirmed with Maulana Sindhi Saab, and he said that £1.50 per day, so your mother, 30 days, £45, so you give that to a poor Muslim person, and that will be fidya. Remember the term is fidya. Yeah, 3 confusions takes place. So those of you, mothers and sisters and men, so who cannot fast during Ramadan and the other 11 months, then for you, because of sickness and health reasons, so fidya is compulsory, and that is £1.50 here in UK, in England and Leicester. So £45 for the baths, you give that out to a poor Muslim person. Second one is this, some of you are pregnant, some of you are breastfeeding, and because of that maybe you cannot fast this Ramadan. So that does not mean that you must pay this amount. After 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, you will be 100% well. So upon you, qaza is compulsory. Remember, So that law of fidya is only upon those people who cannot fast at all, nor now, nor any other time. You pregnant, you know you're pregnant for your whole life. So you're pregnant for 3 months, 6 months, and then you give birth, and then after that maybe another 2, 3, 6 months, then you are better, so then you must keep qadha. Likewise with the breastfeeding lady, so she can't, for example, breastfeed. Breastfeeding does not break fast. Remember this, breastfeeding does not break fast. But normally, you know better than me, a woman cannot breastfeed normally if she does not eat. So therefore, the ulama and the scholars have written that for breastfeeding also it is jaiz if she does not fast, she eats in privacy and she breastfeeds the children afterwards, after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whenever, then she keeps the qadha. One more masala, then we finish. People sometimes, I know in South Africa, I'm sure here also, they say that, okay, my father, mother is very ill, got this sickness, this illness, so what is a kafara? You don't call this kafara, you call this fidya. Kafara is, Ramadan has started already, for example. Today is Ramadan. I, you, whoever, I am fasting, you are fasting, is Ramadan, for example. We remember we are fasting. Deliberately, intentionally, we go and break our fast. We go and drink one nice cold drink. We go and have one nice sandwich or some rice or lunch. So deliberately, intentionally, that is kafara. One qadha you have to keep, and 60 fasts consecutively you have to pay back. That is the kafara. So understand the difference between fidya and kafara. Fidya is compensation because you are ill. You can't fast now, you can't fast now, nor in the future. Kafara is not compensation, it's a penalty. Why did you desecrate the sacred month of Ramadan deliberately, intentionally? So we need to draw a difference between fidya and kafara. Jazakallah khairan, mothers and sisters, make dua for us. We also will make dua for you, inshallah. Tonight also there will be a program in the masjid for the men, and that is, inshallah, Mawlana will make the announcement, so time in... So this thing, tonight is a program here for the men, and we'll be speaking about Qiyamah, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam wa ala ashrafil anbiya wa mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammadu wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma aslih lana sha'nana kulla. Allahumma barik lana fi sha'ban wa ballighna ramadan. Allahumma shfi maridana wa maridal muslimin warham mawtana wa mawtal muslimin. Subhana rabbina rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun والمرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.